What's going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night. It's March 17th, 2026. Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody out there. Hope everybody wore green at some point today. I got green underneath my hoodie, so I made sure I didn't get pinched today, if you believe in that sort of thing. But hopefully, you had some, what is it? I didn't have it. So what's the staple St. Patrick's Day meal?
Corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah, there you go. So hopefully you had that. If you like that,
more of a bangers and mash kind of guy.
Bangers and mash. Yeah, I would rather do that than the corned beef and hash.
Yeah,
or corned beef and cabbage. I mean, so. But I'm Tanner Lee, Evan Webb, Aaron Lynch. We're all in the house. We're ready to talk about the 2026 Big Ten Tournament champion Purdue Boilermakers. Something I don't think any of us thought we'd be sitting here and saying, but kudos to Webby. He did have Purdue playing Michigan in the championship. I had us losing to Michigan State in the semis. Aaron had us losing to Nebraska on Friday. So we were all over the board. But the Boilers, 4 wins in 4 days and looked pretty good doing so.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we talked about last week, you know, heck of a draw for the 7th, as, you know, for a lackluster regular season. But, you know, obviously it started off with, you know, the once again Purdue and Indiana not facing off in a Big Ten tournament, because one or not both teams screwing it up. This time it was Indiana screwing it up, having to play Northwestern. Much different result than the first time these two teams played. Purdue's kind of handled them, which was nice to see. And then they carried that over to Friday with, again, kind of, I mean, probably the most dominant game of the, especially of Friday. We all 4 games, 3 of the 4 games were within 4 points, except for Purdue versus Nebraska. So that was a really pleasant surprise to see.
I was blown away that Mast did not show up again. Even like that shocked me on Friday.
Yeah, I think Nebraska's starting to feel the pressure big time. Yep. Big time. I don't know if there's a team that has more pressure going in there. Of course, you're 1 seed and stuff. But besides that, right, I don't know if there's another top 4 seed that has a pressure going into the first round like Nebraska does.
Yeah. And then you turn and obviously you catch a break with UCLA beating Michigan State. Because it was after the Nebraska game, it was a revenge tour, no matter who you played, because they had UCLA and Michigan State. Both teams beat Purdue. And then on the other side, you had either Wisconsin, who obviously Purdue split with, but they still beat you at home, or Michigan get to Purdue. So it's going to be nice if you could get by some of those teams, you can get extract a little revenge, and obviously caught a break with UCLA, a little bank with Bilodeau getting hurt against Michigan State, and then Donovan Dent being essentially taken out 10 minutes into the game. But I mean, credit to the team, you know, third game in 3 days. You know, obviously Matt had to do a few things to try and keep some guys fresh for the next day, despite people's anger towards that. But obviously it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, it worked out real well. I mean, against Michigan, Purdue's the team playing their 4th straight game, Michigan playing 3, and Michigan looked like the team more winded than Purdue. So playing chess, not checkers.
I think that case on injury really reared his head in that game. And not having him. I think if he's there, it's a whole different ball game. And we saw what it was we saw what it was at Mackey. That's the thing. So right. Not being able to spell Cadeau with that kind of elite guard play was I thought a big break.
Well, and Michigan didn't shoot 55% or whatever they shot the first time, so that helps too.
Does. I'll say Oscar Clough coming up big this weekend, and also Trey as well. I mean, but without Clough, I don't think we win that UCLA game, given how close it was. I mean, it was essentially locked that second half. I mean, it was just the first half we came out and played better.
I understand why they gave Braden most valuable player of the tournament, but I thought Oscar Clough deserved it more, to be honest.
I agree. Absolutely. Especially the fact that until Sunday, Braden just wasn't scoring. Like, he was dishing out, you know, 16 assists in some games, but just from a scoring standpoint, he just wasn't there. He just needed to be there within 2. Like, he just also just wasn't finding a shot. of it going in. And I think that was obviously the biggest nice thing to see. What we're all kind of waiting for is all three seniors plus Clough, and you can see they played well too, but it looked like they were just locked in all in the same day. I don't know if it was, you know, common, you know, if it was just, you know, senior year go around desperation, or for it's, you know, hey, they had a, I don't know, one of our said maybe to come to Jesus, but after the regular season, after that loss to Wisconsin, if they, you know, maybe all had another players only, who knows? I mean, what all of these days, if it's even players only meeting, but whatever they found, I hope they keep it, because this is the team that we were hoping to see. All, you know, part of the team that we saw at the beginning of the year, and then a team that was MIA from January on.
Absolutely. I think the one thing that we saw at the beginning of the year, we don't see right now is Jacobson when he comes in and spells in regards to.
I think he is full head of steam into that freshman wall.
I'm wondering, and I get they're putting Benner in and subbing in and putting Trey at the four, but I wonder if going into the tournament, you're playing Liam Murphy at some point, spell like 2 minute stretch in the end of the first half.
Maybe. I mean, depending on usually the tournament type bench, but I think Jacobson might benefit in the tournament, at least maybe the first one or two rounds, just because of, especially the first round where you're playing an opponent. Maybe that can get us some confidence up for him, or it's not just the physical play of the Big Ten. I think that'll be what it'll be to get away from for a little bit.
Well, I think the physical play in the Big Ten is, it'll be good to get away from, but I think when you're looking at matchups, and we'll go into that later in the show, but like deeper in that run, it's going to be definitely, I think, harder and harder for Jacobson as we move forward, especially if Clough gets in the foul trouble, TKR gets in foul trouble. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but we'll see. I do have a nugget for you all, because I heard on Sports Talk Radio yesterday. Did you know Purdue has the longest win streak in the United Center since the Bulls in 21-22?
Yeah, Bulls had 9 games in 21. Yeah, 21-22. I did see that. I had to rub it into our friend who's an Illinois fan a little bit, because Illinois struggles at the UC big time, and Purdue's loving it. I wish Purdue could do that at Gainbridge, which Gainbridge has been kinder to Purdue as of late. Big Ten tournament's been kind to Purdue as of late compared to what it used to be. I mean, you know, I remember when, besides 09, when Purdue couldn't win a game in it, now Purdue's made the championship 7 times and won it 3 times. So, I mean, it could be Indiana, who's easily, besides like your well, heck, even Penn State's made it. Indiana and Penn State both made it once, I guess, but out of the programs who should be good at it, Indiana's awful at the Big Ten tournament for whatever reason. But I did see that. That made me chuckle. Purdue's got a lot of good streaks going on. 9 straight years now, 4 seed or better, 11 straight appearances. So, got to roll out.
I want to throw this out before we kind of get off the Big Ten tournament, because it was on. I messaged you both and said I wanted to pin this for this week. Since the Big Ten tournament, outside of going to New York and D.C. those 2 years, do you think it would benefit going to Detroit?
I think they deserve it 1 year if Minneapolis got it. If I'm Michigan State, I'm like, hey, you know, why can't we get it up here 1 year? So I think that'd be only fair. But then if you do that, then I guess Ohio State could be like, all right, bring it to Cleveland type thing. And then I don't know where you draw the line.
Cleveland.
Let me know if my audio is still messed up, but
it sounds better.
Okay. I think Cleveland, Detroit makes sense. I mean, obviously Chicago and Indy are great for people like us, but maybe like it's still the Midwest. Like I'm going to those places, but I think it makes more sense than like Minneapolis.
Yeah.
In my opinion, obviously New York and stuff, but I think, Indy, Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, I think that's all, at least it's central to now what is now the coast to coast Big Ten.
I mean, the other option I thought, does LA get it?
Probably.
Primetime games.
I could see it. If Vegas is getting it, LA will get it at some point.
I think LA will get some point. Football eventually too.
I actually do think it would be. I mean, but I thought about it. Like, there's really no, since there's no Pac-12 tournament anymore, there's no like West Coast games, like in that slate. And I can see like starting at like 1 and ending at 1 a.m. That would
really suck.
It would suck, but I mean, that's second largest market out there. That's kind of why I was like, I'm surprised they're not entertaining that. Maybe they are, but I would hope they would want to entertain Detroit before anything. Cause with it rotating between Indy and Chicago, I'm like, there's two Big Ten teams right down the road in Detroit, and they're good at both of basketball. This is not like we're taking it out to Lincoln, Nebraska.
Right. Right. And you know, there was that one gap. There was 5 years in a row was in Indy. I thought Indy was going to kind of become the permanent home of it, but then they started rotating again. It's Indy next year, Vegas 28, nowhere to sign at 29. If they're going to move somewhere, I think Detroit would make a lot of sense. But a lot of times, especially in college athletics, what happens doesn't make a lot of sense. So
it could be in Saudi Arabia before we know it.
A lot of things that are American events that are in Saudi are starting to be planned for elsewhere right now, I think. So, Cameron Day, we're so back. I never had any doubts the last 2 months. If Clough doesn't get his ninth year in college next year, what are the expectations with DJ in the front court? Good question.
I think I changed my microphone too, so let me know if it's choppy again. Assuming DJ's back, you have Sinan Juan coming in, but he's a freshman. Never know what's going to happen with that. I think Painter goes out and gets a 1 year rental physical gig. I think, you know, maybe not, you know, like maybe that's what that looks like, but I mean, it's got to be an attractive position.
I think it is, but we also don't know roster turnover still with this team. You know, so it's
also, we don't know what looked like, but like, Raleigh Burgess, like his development, like obviously he's not a true five, but you know, who knows.
We have a long way to go. Enjoy what this is. I will say, going back to the Michigan game, whatever adjustments they made in regards to not just playing hard, but switching in defense and pulling guys out, definitely.
Yeah.
I was blown away that Johnson didn't have the amount of boards. Like, they didn't beat us on the boards as bad as it was. Plus, they didn't get those long rebounds as they did the first game to go around. I was waiting for that defense, though, at Michigan just to turn it on, especially when it got under eight. And it just never happened and materialized.
Purdue tired him out. The Axel was exhausted chasing Braden. Mara, they got exposed out front. Great shot blocker, but he got exposed out front. Some other guys that are normally factors in Michigan were just non-factors. You kind of forgot they were out there. Kudos to Painter and coaching staff. I thought they made great adjustments. And there was a wrinkle, I think, B-Dow talked about on Boiled Sports, which I didn't catch during the game. But he was saying how TKR was taking it out of bounds on most inbounds plays, and he hadn't done that all year. So,
yeah, I saw that a couple times, and I was wondering what was going on with that. Because it's usually Braden. Yeah.
Your point, Lynch, too. Like I did notice throughout the whole tournament, it felt like there was less switching, especially up top. You see Braden like stick with his guy through, and I was like, I don't know if I texted you guys, but I was like, oh, this is nice. I mean, for the people who've been bitching on the boards about, and it was just nice to see guys stick with it and kind of just. I mean, part of defense is just a pride factor, just not letting your man beat you. So there's athletic limitations for some of these guys, but I mean, part of it's just working your ass off more than the other guy.
I don't know if you both caught this too. You bring up a great point. They did not switch off, but they were like closing the gap between them and their man when that high screen and roll came, and they were fighting over the top of it, and that wasn't really effective because you had another defender, either that being Clough, TKR coming up. That defender now, A, they're not trying to chase underneath and leaving the wide open trail three, or trying the defense collapsing and you know, the ball moving around that way. But they closed the gap, and I don't know if that was a defensive adjustment they made, but they were closer definitely to their man right when the ball was coming up on those high screen rolls.
Cameron Day with a comment here. One of my best friends paid Binter for NIL sponsorship. Asked about last 2 months. Binter said seniors were sick of playing regular season games. People don't realize how many games they play. Once they lost the regular season title, their sights were on March.
I think it's something that a lot of people were thinking of. I mean, and especially, and I can't be talking about, like, you know, we're not 18 to 22 year olds making six figures, seven figures, depending on who it is. Like, especially those guys, like, played so much basketball, and you know, especially Braden and Fletch, they've started every single game they've played at Purdue, and like, I could understand that, of just like, okay, just get through it, like, get healthy, like, it's obviously frustrating as a fan, but I can see where where maybe those guys are coming from, like, with something to prove, like, and once the regular season's gone, it's, you know, just get to the, just stay healthy and bottom out.
Mr. Melton on Facebook, am I the only one that had less anxiety during the Michigan game than both the Northwestern and UCLA games? I feel like we beat them on paper a lot worse than the score showed.
Yeah, going into Sunday, I think I even told you guys, I was like, no, it was our fourth game in 4 days. I was like, just don't get beat up by 30. Just don't get blown up by 30. Like, it's respectable. Like, you know, I even said, you know, if we made it Saturday, I'd be pleased, but I probably agree. I was a lot more granted. Towards the end, I was getting really way more into it than I probably have gotten into a Big Ten tournament game in a long time. But I was definitely way more anxious Thursday, Friday, and Saturday than I was on Sunday.
I enjoyed Sunday's win. It was, I mean, this is recency bias anyways, but this was my favorite win since Purdue beat Tennessee to go to the Final Four. It was my favorite win over any win last year. My favorite win even over at Alabama this year. I think it's because how Michigan thrashed us the first time at Mackey, just how Michigan's built their team, how they've handled things. At one point, they were the team that was going to go 40-0, not lose a game, according to the experts. So, yeah, I as a fan, just wanted this one really bad, and it was just a lot of fun the way the guys just took it to them and how physical them, out hustled them. And I don't know if the guys had to come to Jesus meeting or what, but there was a flip switched in Chicago, and hopefully it stays going down to St. Louis on Friday.
I obviously hope that Painter was playing number 41 for the first time ever, so that helped.
Yes. Mr. Bell, to help that you could tell we broke them at the 11-minute mark of second half. Yep.
Yeah, they got frustrated. You could tell they were frustrated. Like, this is the first time – I don't remember their game against Wisconsin, but their game against Duke, that game kind of came down to the wire. Yeah, this was a game where kind of jumped out all over in the second half, which I felt like we were lucky to be tied at half. I just felt like it took so much just to score the basketball. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were missing shots. I was like, man, I'm just glad to be tied in this game. Like, this easily could be, you know, backy. But then a whole different team came out in the second half and kind of just punched them right in the mouth and didn't back down. So I kept kind of waiting, like, okay, they got down to the final. Okay, here we go. Here's the Michigan that we've been kind of, you know, we saw earlier, and Purdue just would kind of stuck their arm out and kept them at arm's length. And yeah, eventually you just tell that they were frustrated for the first time probably all season, just because they hadn't been whooped like that.
Well, it was being physical down low. That was definitely one thing, but
yeah,
you could definitely tell it was, if someone's going to shoot, it's going to be Burnett, and Burnett's going to have to be the one beating us. And I thought he was going to get hot, but then it started cooling off, and I was like, Cadeau ain't hitting shots. Yaxel isn't hitting shots. Mara's, he made some plays, but he was not fundamentally all there. And Johnson definitely, I thought, was going to beat us on the boards and get the offensive rebounds. Didn't.
Yeah, he was kind of
no-show. Yeah, so do you guys. Like, yeah, so I kind of forgot he was even out there sometimes, because, like, usually he was a guy that's just an absolute freak and just an – between Trey just put shoulder into Mara's chest and kind of backing him out, and to, if it essentially takes away the shot block capabilities, like, Clough was a beast. Like, it's, yeah, I can't believe how much more physical we were. And obviously, you could probably also, you know, yeah, Michigan could also be like, points like, oh, you know, it's, they already had a one seed locked up, like, blah, blah, blah. But still, I mean, if you're going to play a game, you might as well win it.
They wanted to do something they never done in school history, win the Big Ten regular season and tournament. Mm-hmm. They have never done that. So, yeah.
And according to them, which I like this, but according to them last year, they won the Big Ten because Michigan State won the regular season, but they were chanting that they were the Big Ten champions, they won the tournament. And so I guess we're flipping that script this year. even though so does Painter. I think he corrected the someone asked the Big Ten champs. He's like, no, Michigan's the Big Ten champs. We just won the tournament.
And I mean, kudos to the staff and players, because even I thought when they brought Cheddar off the bench to spell Yaxel or Johnson to stretch the floor, that never happened. So definitely, it is definitely a great effort. That again, great game. UCLA was just a great game. I wish they'd bring back the shorts Sky Clark was wearing.
Oh my gosh.
I had a nostalgic moment. I was like, man, these look great on everybody.
Going back to 2010.
Well, they look better on Trey than those short shorts. I'm like, yeah, this don't look good. But overall, just unbelievable. Proved me wrong. Happy it happened. At least this class has something to show for themselves. Yep. That they went out and earned it.
Yeah.
And
these guys got to experience, you know, what it takes play championship ball too.
Without Edie.
Yeah.
And Gillis.
Yeah, it was a fun week for sure. Chicago treated him well. It was 2023 all over again. So
let's hope that's where it ends.
Yes. I'm pretty confident it won't replicate 2023, but we will see. You play the game for a reason. So before we dive into the NCAA tournament, Webby, you said you got some trivia for us this evening.
I did, and it deals with kind of just the tournament in general. It's a three-parter in a way. I made the question, and I just kind of kept going. Just because I was sitting there, I was eating lunch today, and I was watching whatever TVs were on at the restaurant I was at, and they had both the men's and women's brackets. Like, my first thought was, when was the last time both the Purdue men's and women's team made the tournament?
Oh, my.
The answer shocked me.
We're in 2026. I'm going to guess 2018.
2011.
2023.
Okay, Purdue women's made it more recently than I remember.
They made the first four. So there's they end up losing. But then the next part is, when's the last time both teams made the tournament consecutive years in a row? In 2011 or consecutive years? 2011. What, 2 years?
2011. Yeah. 10 and 11.
2011. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say 07, 08.
Your lack of faith is disturbing. 2016 and 2017.
Yeah, I don't follow the women's program very closely. And
that's how bad this program has become.
Yeah.
And then
we are
last
failing.
Part. When was the last time that both made the second weekend of the same year?
I'm going 2009.
Okay.
I'll go 2016. Wait, no. Never mind.
We didn't.
No, 2009. I tried thinking women's. Go 2009, too.
Good job, guys. You're doing yourself. 2009.
All right. One for three.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Actually, women made the Elite Eight that year. Women made the Elite Eight.
I forgot about Little Rock.
Yeah, I totally forgot that the women's team made it in 2023. I was expecting, 2018, 2019, like that. And I looked it up and I was like, oh, this was 3 years ago. I feel really embarrassed.
No,
I remember watching that game too.
All right. I brought some blind rankings with me this evening. And my dad helped me with these, I'll be honest, because I was like, man, I feel like we've done everything blind rankings this year. Yeah. So he gave me different duos to play at Purdue. Which it's tough to do because you can take two guys off any team and make it a duo. But I want you guys to rank these based on your favorite duo. And we will start with Braden Smith and Trey Kaufman Wren.
Are there runovers by the chance? Like,
no.
Okay, so Braden's not getting paired with Fletcher
nope.
on this.
Nope. Nope.
Okay. Oh, okay. I'm going to go four.
I was going to go four.
That's what I was going to go. Just because this year hasn't quite, last year was awesome, but this year kind of wasn't the same, obviously because of the addition with Clough, kind of changed things up a little bit and traded that we saw last year, which we kind of assumed may be the case, but the year they productive.
Next one, Carson Edwards and Ryan Klein.
I don't think I'll ever feel something like it was watching that Flamethrowers. We're going one.
All right. I like it. Lynch loves the three ball. Like it.
No, yeah. Just jacking up shots is what I loved. It wasn't even just three ball. It was just jacking up shots.
I will go three only because I only like when I think about that, I only think about like two games. Granted, they were awesome games and really fun, but I don't remember. I just feel like it wasn't as consistent as might be.
If you're measuring on consistency, sure, but I mean, those games were some of the most exciting games ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Juwan Johnson and Etuan Moore.
Two.
I think I'm going to. Oh, man. I used two already, two and. Where did I put them at three? I'll put those guys at two. Yeah.
Carl Landry and David Teague.
Oh, dang it. There's some formative years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hate doing it because I like honestly two of some of my all-time favorites, especially Dave Teague. Yeah, I'll go five.
I still think Carl Landry's the most underappreciated Purdue player of all time.
Oh my gosh. And yeah, probably one of the better careers of anybody we've had outside of maybe Etuan.
Yeah.
All right, Cardinal.
Cardinal had a good.
He's a world champion.
Yeah, he made a lot of money. Brad Miller made a lot of money.
Brad
Miller made a lot of money.
Well, Glenn Robinson made a lot of money, but just didn't have the NBA career a lot of people thought he was going to.
Yeah.
So, Webby, you got one left. Aaron?
Three.
All right, Webby, I think you're going to be glad you left the one spot here. Zach Edey and Jaden Ivey.
Let's go. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, those two are on your Mount Rushmore favorites, right, Webby?
Oh, yeah.
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 With Fletcher being number one.
No, that's Robbie.
So would those four that we just named, would they be your four? I mean, I know recency bias. Would it be Robbie, Fletcher, Zach, and then Jaden?
Man. It would be criminal to not put Braden. But in terms of favorites, I mean, you guys know I was a Fletcher stan from before he ever committed.
Yes, yes,
you were. So for the sake of this argument, sure.
Aaron, what would be your Mount Rushmore favorites?
I think I already named them.
Did you?
I went on a podcast earlier.
I'm sure
that
we did, but.
Well, I don't, no, it wasn't you. It was Evan and I doing it. Edie one. Two to me would be probably. I love Dakota.
Oh yeah.
He was definitely the
shout out to the Midwestern Cowboy for a triple double for the Noblesville Boom.
Yep,
Noblesville Boom.
just because he was consistent night in, night out.
Oh yeah, great. Like, I mean, I don't know if I've ever trusted somebody with the ball more than Dakota to make the right decision. I don't know. He just
absolutely. Chris Kramer would be up there because that'll never exist again.
Yeah,
in the sport. I got to go with a little jitterbug, Carson. I mean, just lightning in a bottle, just jacking up shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would have Kramer on there, Robbie on there, Edie on there. And then the fourth one gets tricky, but I think I got to go Etuan Moore. I was a big Etuan guy.
Yeah.
Although the Robbie Juwan Etuan years are still close to my heart.
I mean, it's like, yeah. I mean, obviously that was our, you know, high school into your freshman year, freshman year.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, taking us from what we saw the end of the KD years, which were not great, into kind of making us believe something that the fans probably hadn't felt in a long time, and like they can actually you know, make a run. Fortunately, never had a chance to, but the fact that they were, you know, in the top 10 and top 5 at time, like, just something that didn't seem possible at a young age.
It's so crazy. There's so many good players we left off. I mean, Gil Flanagan didn't even get a mention.
Yep.
You know, crazy. Crazy.
Yeah. You can argue Mason Gillis, like, is. I don't think that team makes a Final Four without Mason Gillis. He played one year with Lance Jones. I mean, he had probably my favorite of any Purdue players ever hit. That 3 against Tennessee to seal it.
You could argue John Octius. Without him, then
it doesn't get back on track. Yeah.
Yep.
I know my wife would be fired. My wife would put Travion Williams. She loved watching Trey play.
Yeah.
and other people, probably Vince Edwards is probably up there for some.
Yeah. I mean, Swiss Army Knife. Yeah.
Yeah. We've had so many likable guys. Just kudos to the program. Yeah.
It is. There's also another person that does it before you get put Mitch's comment here.
Mm-hmm.
There's another player that probably will never see ever again in his shot. It's Keaton Grant. That rainbow jumper ain't coming back.
Yeah. Another underappreciated Purdue player. His sophomore year, he was team MVP. He was nails that year. Mitch Melton, I'd have to go one on Smith and TKR just due to breaking records and assists. If you would have said Smith and Zach, that would have easily been
the one. Yep. Yeah, that would have been my number one. But that's fair. Edie.
Yeah,
Edie. Probably anybody with Edie probably would be my number one.
Ronnie Johnson and Zach Edie, even though they didn't play together, we're throwing them in there together.
You just gave me an idea. I got blind rankings next week.
Oh, God. Why did I? Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Least likable players.
Pending the result of the games.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have a blind ranking anyways, but yeah. But least likable. There'd be quite a list there too, as well. But Boilers get a team I had never heard of coming up Friday, University of Queens. And even though Oscar Clough thought they were based out of New York, like a lot of people, they're not. They're based out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Purdue's 25.5-point favorites. Don't know a lot about Queens. They played some big boys in November and December, and all of them handled Queens pretty easily. And if Purdue can get past them, they await the winner of Miami, Florida, and Missouri. And somehow Missouri, as a 10 seed, got placed in St. Louis, which I still have a problem with.
I'm going to be okay with this because I thought more than likely, depending on Sunday's outcome, I thought we're going to shift out west as a 3 seed if we lost. In regards to
Portland. I thought we were going to be – I think – had we lost, I think there's a chance, maybe not the 2 seed, but there's a chance that we like switch with Illinois, maybe, and that we go Greenville.
I thought we would get flipped with Michigan State more than Illinois.
This potential. I just saw something, I don't know if it was Saturday or Sunday, that basically said Purdue, like if Purdue wins, it could maybe, I think at that point too, and there wasn't even talking, maybe a 2, it was being a 3 seed. And like with Illinois, which I think Purdue, Michigan State, Illinois were like literally the 8, 9, 10 teams when you rank all 68 teams. which is cool to see. But so we didn't talk about this. This is the first time it's felt like the Big Ten tournament's actually meant something.
Yep. Like, I think the committees were trying to show people conference tournaments are going to matter from now on.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, like, I mean, we've been fortunate. It's the third time we've seen Purdue win it. You know, it was, you know, at the end of the day, like, depending on the season Purdue's had, like, I haven't really, you know, cared all that much. Like, by 4 minute Braden went down, I was like, just end the thing. Like, just walk off the court and call it a day and just go home. I mean, if, you know, now for teams like in Indiana, Ohio State, you know, those types of teams who were, you know, playing to get on the right side of the ball, like that, obviously, is one thing, but Purdue, thankfully, has been in that position.
Indiana's got awful at it.
Yeah. But it is to see that, you know, it does mean something to where it actually changed the seeding. So it's felt like in the past, you know, Purdue's been lost the first game and nothing changed, or they've made the championship or won and nothing changed. So
right.
It's nice to see that it actually have an impact.
Right. I don't know about you guys. I was happy with the time slot on Friday being a night game.
Yeah, I hated last year when we were like playing middle of the day on whatever Thursday or Friday day we played. It was miserable being at work. But yeah, nice to be able to enjoy all of Thursday and most of the day Friday. Mm-hmm. It's one of those games where just come out and just don't let them hang around. Because obviously the longer you let those small seats hang around, you know, they get confidence, but also the arena is just as they should be in a March Madness setting. You cheer for the upsets. Unless it's your team, you're always cheering for the upsets just for the sake of it's what's just a full March, even when it sucks. But you don't give them any life. So I think you have your point here. I think if Wausau this weekend shows up, yeah, I have no doubt my mind Purdue's going to make some, potentially cause some damage.
Absolutely.
I think it helps that your core players, the three seniors, excluding Clough and Murphy, they know what it's like to get humiliated and lose a 16 seed. If they hadn't been through that, maybe I'm a little more nervous going into Friday than I am right now. And I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, you know, when we were doing this podcast last week, none of us were real confident. How could we be? I mean, the way Purdue was playing the last six games. And then in 1 week, a stretch of four games have flipped the Purdue, all Boiler Nation's vibes to the team. It's just funny what sports can do.
I mean, we were worried, like, I was worried, like, man, if we lose to the Northwestern Indiana, we'd drop a 5 seed.
Yeah, and then get bounced. Like, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, maybe win your first game, but then, you know, lose to a good 4 seed. But then, I'll, you know, congrats, you get the 1 seed like we did last year. But kudos to them for showing up and proving us all wrong. You know, obviously, it's been nice to see in January, but better late than never.
Yep.
Champions pick themselves off the mats.
Yep.
Yep.
And like Aaron mentioned earlier, at least if we do lose and don't win 6 straight, at least we have something to show for the year, or don't win 4 and get to the Final Four. At least we have something. That's still what irks me about the team with Haas, Edwards, Mathias, and Thompson. Great team, nothing to show for. Jane Ivey's last year, really good team, nothing to show for.
Not the last year.
That's what I meant, like that team that year. That's what I meant, not during their career.
Okay.
I mean, these guys have plenty to show for their career, senior class.
Right.
But this particular team. History. Yes, this particular team.
Well, I think it's more like divide, I think, with this team, because it was with Zach Edey, the best player in program history. Now they cemented themselves of having something, not being, because they were going down a road. I was thinking, well, they're going to be remembered as the role players for Zach Edey. Probably on, like, J.I. gets remembered for 6 turnovers against St. Peter's, which is unfortunate. But they've done something in fortitude in regards to picking themselves off the mat, somehow flipping a switch that none of us thought was there. I still don't. I mean, last week of the season, defense was non-existent. Hard could might as well just been pulled off the wall.
Yep.
And defense lives here can just be thrown in the trash, because that's how it was. It definitely looked like a different team versus, I thought the best win of the season was still against USC out there in LA in regards to no one's in the crowd. There's more Purdue fans than there are USC fans. And USC came to play with a 26-year-old and almost took you down. And somehow they pulled it out. Thanks to Benner pretty much giving them a 5-point swing in a minute and a half.
Yeah.
But this team definitely, I'm not worried about Friday at all. I think there's a high chance this team can get to the second weekend with their draw. And we can probably talk about that. Mitch's comment, if IUP would have stuck around, he would have a lot more to be remembered by. That is true.
He had to go.
He had to go. Yeah.
His draft stock wasn't getting any better. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this, Fletcher wouldn't have had the career he would have. If J.I. stuck around.
Freshman Braden wouldn't have the. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it is. Things happen for a reason. And I would say this is probably the most favorable draw they could have ever gotten.
Yeah, very good draw. Of course, I mean, out of the one seeds, I don't know if Arizona's the one you want in your bracket, but if you're going to make a run, you got to beat good teams. That's probably the
one seed I wanted the least.
Yeah, but, yeah. But
they've been the most consistent. They've been the most consistent.
Even though we beat them lately, Duke still gives me PTSD when it comes to the tournament. Oh, yeah. Like, I just didn't want – I don't know. But – and really, I didn't – I'm glad we won't see Michigan unless we make the Final Four, because even though we just smacked them, I'm good with not seeing them again.
Right, yeah.
I didn't want a UConn, Florida, or Houston even near us.
I didn't mind UConn.
If this is the year to play UConn, this is the year I want it, because they have, which obviously, you know, they could very well do this in a cruise and flip a switch and go nuclear in the tournament. But like, they have very pedestrian, it's very mediocre teams. Like, in barely, I mean, granted, they won, credit to them for winning the game, but they have played the beast. I mean, the fact that your regular season and tournament champion is a 5 seed.
Yeah, that was about the worst seeding, I thought.
And UConn is somehow a 2. Yeah. I mean, they had wins like at Kansas in the non-con.
It won 18 straight at one time. Yeah.
Yeah. But just like the Big East was 2 teams and a cast of others. And UConn looked pretty mediocre against a lot of bad teams. So I was like, this is the year to get them. This is the year. But you know, it's Dan Hurley. He's a psycho. So if you think he could have been holding them back just to make himself mad. To use his fuel. Wait.
Big East was 2 teams. Big East has 3 teams, though.
I know. Saying two. UConn and St. John's, and then like a cast of others. Like, no one else was really that great.
Okay. Because I was like, Villanova got in. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They might have fun for a game.
I think I have them getting bounced first games.
Utah State. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I thought for the most part the committee got the field right with the 68 they got in there, and for everybody, with the majority at least, I think I can speak for that. It's against expanding. It's because look at the bubble. Look how weak the bubble was. Don't expand this thing.
And that's what right. Get in is just those crappy bubble teams. It wouldn't be the first place team in. I don't know, pick a league, the ASUN Horizon. who loses in the, you know, or the Missouri Valley, like maybe the second, the number one seed who loses in the semifinals, and now is all of a sudden out. Like, those teams should get in my opinion, versus freaking Auburn.
Yeah. Yeah. Even Indiana being a first four out, I just shook my head. Yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah. I think that the Wisconsin, as our buddies, the Wisconsin beating Purdue at Purdue, turning into a quad one for them at home, did wonders for their resume.
Northwestern's the pain for them that won't go away. Northwestern kept them out of the tournament. So
it's like Ohio State with us. It's just
a
weird matchup.
Yep.
Congrats to Bruce Thornton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yep.
Lynch, you still think Diebler's getting fired?
I hope.
I don't think he's getting fired.
I hope. I want to go.
I think he's pretty safe.
They're gonna get like TJ Osterberg or something really stupid and be really good.
The this because he's a thorn in our side. I read this is what I want. I want Roger Powell to be dismissed from Valpo and Diebler go back to his alma mater here. And then what my biggest fear would be they buy Billy Donovan out. That would be my biggest fear.
Bad. That would be bad.
Very bad, because he now has pretty much an unlimited NIL there. But
yeah,
the IU being the first four out was just dollars. I'm just going to say that. That was a decision of the committee because they wanted probably Miami versus Indiana as a first four matchup because they knew they could probably get fans in regards to showing up at Dayton from both schools because of proximity and the large fan base of IU. Yeah. Guaranteed that was what they were thinking. Because the NCAA doesn't care about anything else but money at this point.
Sports in general, fortunately.
They don't even care about sports. They just care about money.
I mean, just sports or leagues, organizations in general. It's all about money. It's not about fans anymore. So,
baseball's a little different. Like, they don't want to spend money.
Well, yeah. They're losing viewers in different ways. So, let's go through. Let's give some score predictions, players of the game, spicy bowl predictions for we can throw Friday and Sunday in there. Let's do double dose.
Okay.
I guess who do we think Purdue did they win on Friday?
I think Miami gets it done against Missouri. I want Miami to get it done because I think Missouri will pack that place Sunday if they win.
That's what I'm expecting.
Yeah.
But I just remember watching Missouri get beat by 43 in St. Louis against Illinois. And I'm like, this team is not a tournament team. And somehow they won some close games in the Big East against good opponents and got themselves in there.
The Big East. Miami's tough, obviously.
SEC.
Miami's got some familiar faces with Malik Renew, who's their leading scorer.
Yep.
Trey Donaldson from Michigan.
Yep.
Jaden Lucas is doing a heck of a job in year one.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched them a little bit part of their ACC tournament. But again, I was coming back to like they're a 7 seed for a reason. And the ACC is not great outside of Duke. Obviously Virginia was pretty solid. North Carolina was good until Caleb hurt. But I just feel like after the first couple teams, it kind of fell off a little bit. I think obviously the familiarity of Renew could probably help this team a little bit, I would think. He's a great player, obviously. I think Purdue obviously wins. I'm going to go a score of 86-62. Play of the game. I mean, obviously Braden's going to break the record, which is incredible given, a week ago I thought no kids breaking it, which is unfortunate. Like, it'll get close, but the fact that he's now two away from breaking it, like, I hope he breaks it in the first two possessions just to get it over with. But yeah, I think hopefully that kind of loosens things up a little bit and now that it's over. I think I'm saying it. Triple.
Yeah, this might be the last best shot to do it. Might be Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he gets pulled early before he even tries.
I think you're right. I would hope he would.
Lynch, you want to go next?
Yeah. I think Purdue wins 95-40.
Oh my God. This is at Maryland all over again.
Yep.
He was close.
He was close.
I was close. Don't get me started about this one. I think defense comes to play. I think Braden finally. I think that the assist I was hoping would happen on Sunday that we were done, and he is just becomes Carson Edwards 2.0 and just starts launching them. Because I think if he starts launching them, everything's going to open up that offense more. And Trey, the guys are going to start trying to close him out on the perimeter. Trey and Clough are going to be open, have space down low, and he can pass the ball. Fletcher's going to be open. CJ's going to be open. If he becomes a legit flamethrower, like how Carson did, like, sky's the limit now. So 95-40, I think it's just going to be a bloodbath. because I think that's going to start. He's going to drop 35 before he gets pulled.
Hey, Maryland, he said 40. So he's getting close to his Maryland predictions.
I think he dropped 35. Bold prediction. That's my bold prediction, too. He becomes a flamethrower. Yep. And I think that's going to open up a whole new gear in this offense.
I'm going Purdue 84. Queens, I about said New Orleans. Queens 60. Player of the game, I'm going with Webby's boy Fletch. I think he hits 5 threes. Bold prediction. Double double for Oscar Clough. I don't know how bold that is after this week, but I'm also not familiar with his NCAA tournament experience either. So,
yeah, not either.
Should have made bold prediction. Liam Murphy plays 10 minutes.
I hope you're well. If you're winning by 45, then Aaron Fine better be getting close to 10 minutes. Yeah. So, all right, Sunday, who do you guys think Purdue plays?
I think it's going to be Missouri. I think Missouri.
Two for Miami, one for Missouri. All right, Lynch, if they play Missouri, what's the score?
74 to 52. I think they're going to overmatch and overwhelm Missouri because I think he, again, becomes a flamethrower, and we see what we saw in the Sweet 16 Elite Eight. And with Klein and with him, how Carson and Klein were that duo, we have that ability now because he's opened up. So I think this shifts the offense because, I mean, it was the highest efficiency rate. It just shifts it to another gear that we've never seen. Player of the game is going to be TKR in this one. Probably has 15 boards. No, 15 points, 12 boards. Bold prediction. Purdue's the only Purdue and Michigan are the only two teams from the Big Ten make Sweet 16.
Ooh, out of nine.
Whoa, man.
Yeah.
I think Fran gets revenge on Thursday. I think Fran takes Underwood out on Thursday.
Oh, man.
I will laugh.
I hope so you're right. Hard. I will laugh so hard.
Oh, I had a feeling that he'll say it's TJ, baseball season.
TJ,
yeah, he's already in the dumps because Suzuki for the Cubs. Minor PCL sprain, whatever it is. Yeah. So
it's not as bad as today for the White Sox. Vassell being TJ.
Yeah. World Baseball Classic, man. I don't understand, but
you play Miami. I'm gonna go 78-66. Put a game. I'm going to CJ Cox. I think he gets his first like real big NCAA tournament game. Prediction. Hold renew to under 15. I think he's averaging close to 18. I think we keep him well under his average. Hell of a player though.
I think Purdue plays Miami, beats them 82-72. Player of the game, Jakari Harris. I want to pick somebody off the bench to have like a Melvin Buckley against LSU type game.
Yeah,
I think Jakari gets double figures and hits 3 threes. But my bold prediction, I'm going to go Braden Smith gets 5 steals.
Ooh,
yeah. So, go ahead, Aaron.
Before you go on, do you think he becomes like Carson Edwards was once he gets opened up from this assist record?
Nobody's going to be like Carson, but I think once he gets the record, I think we'll see him play loose Friday anyways. I think it'll open up more shots for himself, but his teammates. I think Purdue's going to get a lot of open looks. Just comes down to are we making them or not? Because that's one thing against Michigan. We didn't make a lot of open threes. We made some, don't get me wrong. We could have buried them even earlier if we could have hit some open ones in the second half. But
he is the best offensive weapon when he looks to score first. Like, he is the one guy that can beat him off the dribble. I mean, CJ can too, but he's got another geared fadeaway jumper getting to spots under the 3-point line. Like he has the jitterbug ability like Carson did.
You win in March because you're guards. So, well, except Purdue in 2024. I mean, guards help, but Edie was dominant. So,
having the best player in college basketball in the last 50 years helps too.
Yes. Yes. So, assuming we are all right and we make the Sweet 16, go ahead. Go ahead.
Timeout. Carmelo Anthony was like
one of the best.
I thought you said best.
I thought you said best. And I was like, wait, Carmelo Anthony. Melo
had a great freshman year. He did. Assuming we make the Sweet 16, we're on here talking about that next week. We'll be in San Jose. Who do you predict Purdue would be playing in the Sweet 16? We're looking at BYU or
Gonzaga
or Kennesaw State or I think Texas / NC State. So we could see Cam Heidi in Sweet 16.
Yeah. This might be crazy. I think I'd rather see Gonzaga over BYU. Just because AJ DeBonta is, I mean, that dude is Tracy McGrady in today's world.
But I feel like if you can contain him, then.
Yeah, it's true. Obviously, not having Ricky Saunders would help. And they did finish like five in the Big 12, which the Big 12 was a gauntlet. But I don't know. I mean, I just feel like Braden against Few.
Yeah.
It's just that hatred.
What scares me is they're due. Purdue has their number, but they're due. And we see them in a bit.
They can have it. They can have it. They can have it. Sure. Start the season. I don't care.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. It also depends on, was it Huff, the big guy who is questionable. I don't know. But obviously, if you as a coach, I think it's one of those two teams.
I think it's going to be Gonzaga, and this is Few's best defensive team, and that's what scares the living crap out of
me. They are good at defense. Okay. They're not as good offensively, but they are good at defense.
I mean, he does to Few's credit, there is a Braden Smith on Gonzaga's roster.
There is.
he finally got it. He finally got it.
He got confused and got the wrong one. Oops. Didn't know what I ordered.
Timu version. No disrespect. I don't know. I'm sure he's a hell of a player.
That kid's going to put 30 on us now next week.
And I know.
This is going to be bulletin board material.
Yeah, somebody's going to snip this and put it.
I'm somehow clipped, yeah.
Webby's going to get us viral, but for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
With this being his best defensive team, that scares me, especially if we ain't locked in defensively. That's what I'm afraid of. I think that's where the road could end, potentially. Before we even think about the Elite Eight, that Sunday's going to suck if we get to the Elite Eight. I'm not going to lie. Would it be Sunday? Yeah, it'd be
Thursday,
Sunday,
right? Thursday, Saturday in San Jose.
It is? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I was hoping it was going to be Friday, Sunday, but it's Thursday, Saturday.
So that Saturday night game is going to blow if we do get – I mean, Saturday night game would blow. And I'll go why if we get there.
How far, assuming you guys have filled out our bracket, non-bias, how far do you have? Aaron, have you?
Yep.
How far do you have Purdue going?
Sweet 16.
I got him Elite Eight losing to Arizona. So.
Yeah, I'm going to probably, because I always do, I have so many different bracket challenges. I usually mix it up a little bit here and there, depending on people are in it, but I'll probably have anywhere Purdue. Now, I did say about a month ago to our good buddy that reminded me to have pronounced in the second round. So I'll probably have one bracket to do that just to honor my. I'll pick some throwaway bracket and do that. I'll probably have them from round all the way to Final Four, and is my hopes.
And I'm not trying to water anything down, but if they at least make the Sweet 16, I'll be pretty happy. I mean, of course, after beating Michigan, I know they can got the capability of beating anybody. I think because I hold Michigan in that high regard. But at least get the second weekend, I'm happy.
It's the second. It's the second
I thought it was. play to your seed, so which would be Elite Eight.
Right.
So if we can get the Elite Eight, that would suck to not make it. But I just feel like there's such a difference between making the Sweet 16, just as we've seen, like, you know, we've seen Purdue make Sweet 16 a ton, very than that. But only you see to make the Elite Eight twice on Painter.
Yeah.
So if we can get there, I'll be comfortable.
Once again, that's kudos to the program. Yeah. I mean, say that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about a team like Illinois who's been great under Underwood, but like made one Sweet 16 since 2005, like, which is crazy. Like, for as much success as they've had under Underwood, he's only once made Elite Eight that year. So I think they'll make it this year. Hope they don't. Hope TJ Power goes off for 50.
Getting to the second weekend is going to be an accomplishment. Given how
you've said that all year. So. Yeah.
And I'm sticking by it. If it is Elite Eight, great. Mm-hmm. I'm not that game. It'll probably be on Turner. It'll probably be on TNT. It's going to suck because LeBron James will probably be in the crowd that game, more than likely.
Oh, yeah.
Because of Bryce.
Son. Yeah.
So, which he doesn't play, he's a red shirt, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
He's probably going to be there, so the camera's going to be on him. Probably Kevin Harlan calling that game is what I would think. More than likely. So it's going to have an NBA feel, especially Coach Pete. And why am I thinking the other two freshmen? Why are they blanking on my head? I've watched them this year, and I can't remember all their names.
I can't help you.
I squeaked out against Iowa State. So I guess before we'll get to next week when we get to next week, but you got any like big bowl predictions for any of the other Big Ten teams?
Yeah, I got Michigan State getting bounced in the second round by USF.
Okay.
I've set the bracket a lot. I'm trying to think of what I had. I think Wisconsin either gets bounced first round or they make the Elite Eight. Just like there's a team like that, like they've been playing so well lately. Now if they're not shooting, then they're toast, I think, because they just don't have the inside presence like they typically like a Michigan if Michigan's not hitting. I'm trying to think of anything else.
I also assuming Bilodeau and Dent are healthy. I like UCLA to knock off UConn second round.
So that's the team I've been. I keep going back and forth. That's part of why I haven't filled a bracket yet. I'm trying to wait until the last just to find out anything that we can about them. Because I'm like, if they're healthy, they've been playing really good ball lately. And they could be dangerous. But they're all flying to the East Coast.
Yeah.
That is Mitch Melton. Nebraska's the win they're looking for.
Yeah. If they can get past Troy, they'll probably play Vanderbilt, which would be a really interesting matchup.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're under so much pressure.
Yeah, there's teams like Iowa and Ohio State. I don't even have Iowa beating Clemson. I do have Ohio State beating TCU, but it's like, right, then you got to go get to one seed. So,
yeah. Congrats on making it to the tournament for the first time in a while. You get to play Duke.
Yep.
I think
it's like us when we had to play Kentucky in 2016,
yeah,
2015.
Yeah, but yeah.
I think four Big Ten teams get knocked out in the round of 64.
Who?
I think
Illinois,
Nebraska, Iowa, and Ohio State.
I think Iowa's my least confident to get a win. I just hate the way they're playing right now.
The only thing that like gives me pause with that, because I'm with you there, is that yes, it wasn't at this level, but Ben McCollum has won like in a lot in tournament style play, like at the Division II level and all that. So I'm like, does that, you know, if things get tight, can that help him? You know, I don't know.
Those guards from Clemson can put up buckets.
They can.
A couple other upsets, non-Big Ten related, I know off the top of my head. I picked Santa Clara to beat Kentucky, and I picked Akron to beat Texas Tech.
Sean Gross.
Yeah, that one's up. Akron, that one is very enticing, especially without JT Toppin. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of went through a bracket today and then I cleared it because I didn't like it. But I think I didn't even have a hard because I was getting too many ones and twos in the.
It could be pretty chalky again, though.
It could be.
I think the portal's really gonna. It'll be interesting if there's not a lot of like upsets this year. What's the ratings gonna look like next year? Like you know what I'm saying? Like, because the average person who just tunes in for upsets, if the upsets keep going down, people are gonna
stop. It's a fine line because you want upsets, but you don't want too many because then you get into
San Diego State and Florida Atlantic and.
Yeah, like when last year you had all 4-1 seeds and it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was on both games, or all three games, both final four games and the championship were incredible.
Yeah.
But you want to see chalk the first two rounds.
Before we pay some bills, I'll give a sports business journal. I don't know when the contract is for Turner CBS, but if it does get a little chalky, I could see Turner probably winning an exit because the NCAA is going to want money, and then this thing goes behind a paywall. And we know which paywall it will be. It'd be the cock, everyone. Peacock. The sucky one.
Yeah, nothing would surprise me anymore.
Would be. On that note, let's pay our bills.
Let's do that. We do have bills to pay. So let's talk about Mad Mush, who's been a great sponsor of ours for the last couple of years.
Yeah, the Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom, serving Boilermakers since 93. Mad Mush is located in the heart of West Lafayette and is home of the original cheese stick. But when any of the Boiler Breakdown crew is in town, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer, and try out the latest pizza of the month, which is Rob's Crispy Bourbon Chicken. It is a pizza topped with chopped crispy chicken, tossed in bourbon sauce, has onions, celery, mozzarella cheese on top, and finished with a toasted sesame seeds over the sauce. So whenever you're in town, use the code BREAK526 online for $5 off any order over $20. Remember, this is online only. Do not try to go there in store and use it. if it doesn't work, I'm just going to put this out in the ether. Use BREAK5, our former promo code as well, but use BREAK526 to start. That can be used for anything on your order as well, not just pizza of the month. Can be used for grinders, cheese sticks, you name it, you can use it. So next time, let them know that the Boiler Breakdown sent you. Mad Mush, feed your head.
And they got a bracket competition where you can get in by going to their Facebook page if you want to enter. It's free to play. Bracket entries are due March 19th at noon. The grand prize, free pizza for a year and a custom 2026 Mad Mushroom Madness Champion t-shirt. Second place, you get $100 in gift vouchers and a Mad Mushroom hoodie. Third place, $75 in gift vouchers and a Mad Mushroom t-shirt. Fourth place, $50 in gift vouchers. So join their group Mad Mushroom Madness 2026 on the ESPN Tournament Challenge. You can just type that in, or you can go straight to their Facebook page and they got a link there. So I think the Boiler Breakdown crew might have to get in that and see how we can do. So I like free pizza for a year. Absolutely. I don't know about you guys.
My Uber Eats bill will be like just trying to get that delivered.
I might just have to rent out an apartment for the year down in West Lafayette. Go down on weekends. So, but Webby's got a great new looking t-shirt that I believe he just picked up from the shop.
I did. Found myself in Broderick over the weekend and stopped on in and had to buy myself the new Mac Arena t-shirt that came out not too long ago. Super soft. But the shop's been doing it since 2011, started out in their garage, and I've got three retail locations across Indianapolis, one in Broderick Bowl, like I just said, one in Carmel, one in downtown. Great selection, all things Purdue, Indiana, Butler, Indiana State.
You know, all schools that can't make the tournament besides Purdue.
Right. it's, you know, and wildly enough, May is right around the corner, so their Indy 500 stuff's getting ready to, is starting to come out, looks really sharp. I picked up the Mac Arena shirt, fits awesome, super comfortable. I was, eyeing a couple sweatshirts in store that I might need to get online next time they have a deal going. They're all super soft, super comfortable, lasts forever. Yeah, it was between this Mackie shirt and the Purdue script alternate, but I had to go with my favorite place on earth when it came to getting the shirt. But yeah, if you're in Indianapolis, stop on by. But if you can't, go to theshopindy.com, use promo code breakdown for free shipping.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with any of these t-shirts or sweatshirts. No. They're all awesome. They also got clothing for youth. They got hats, great looking hats.
I was staring at some hats. I was staring at that two-tone hat there. I was like, I'm not a hat guy, but I'm going to switch to football. Maybe some good mojo going or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you guys superstitious at all?
No.
I say no, but I have caught myself so many times, especially the last couple of years, where I would either wear a shirt multiple games until we lost. It was always until, like, I would never do it on purpose. And I was like, oh, we won the last couple of games in this shirt. I'm going to wear it again. And then we lose. I'm like, all right, I can't acknowledge it. And we're fine. And I remember. Go ahead.
Nope. You go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Let's say in 2024, it worked until the championship game. I don't know the final four, but I know I found myself having one beer per half, and that seemed to the mojo was. That it did, yeah. Doing that, I don't championship game. I think I kind of retired that because I was like, I can't take it. But yeah, I've done the shirt thing where, like, you've won a awesome. I'll be able to wear it next time. So yes, the short answer is yes. As much as I like to say I'm not, I can't help it sometimes.
In 23-24, I had a Purdue hockey jersey I wore, and it was undefeated until the championship game. But I found a combo. Yeah. I wore it every game last week at the Big Ten tourney, a hat sweatshirt combo. I got to keep rocking it till it no longer works. So
yeah,
I am superstitious when it comes to that. I thank my dad for that. So
yeah.
Yep.
So then I'm just like, why on earth would me wearing a shirt affect the outcome of a game some miles away?
It's like this year during the Broncos season, I had to wear the same because I'm still a jersey guy when it comes to NFL, and I have one of each of their current uniforms. I had to wear whatever they're wearing that game day. That was my superstition. So, and it worked pretty well for me this year. But, yeah, I got problems. Okay. I got problems. But any final thoughts, boys, as we get ready for what hopefully is a fun week of basketball?
I was watching the first four before we hopped on, and I was like, I cannot believe the tournament's here. I feel like this year has flown by.
Really has.
Downs. But no matter how it ends, I'm glad to see it go. Mm-hmm.
February took forever, and it was miserable. Going 6-7 was not happy. I'm excited. In honor of Daryl Hazel.
Oh my god.
Talk about superstition. Oh my Jesus.
Stir up the heat. Cut his create mic. Furnace.
Oh my
god. Cut his mic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to look up what in the world is Queen's nickname? Why am I not finding it?
I thought they were the Royals.
They are the Royals. There it is. I found it. Because the mascot said Rex the Royal. Great time to get that scrolling across the bottom that for everybody listening. It says Aaron's opinions are his own and do not necessarily reflect those of the Boiler Breakdown podcast. Couldn't say it better myself. Let's have a great week of basketball, everybody. Have a great job watching March Madness. If you're taking off Thursday, Friday, whatever you're doing, enjoy it. It's a great time of year. Let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Royals, neither the Hurricanes or the Tigers.
Get those bisectomies.